Hey, here we go. Welcome to Believer's Chapel, man. We are juiced that you are honestly with us today. And man, just an amazing time of worship and celebration. Just to be reminded, man, of how great our God is. Man, my God is greater. ... Come on, what is God greater than for you today? Like, honestly, when I'm in this place of just praying and worshiping and being amazed at my God and how great he is as the creator of all things, the one who would send his only begotten son to put himself on a cross as my redeemer, as my payment, that I may have life, that I may have eternal life with him and live life abundantly here on the earth. How great is my God? My God is greater than ... wherever you're at this morning. Man, maybe you're new to BC and this whole atmosphere might be new to you. But man, we're going to talk on that. We're going to do a whole series starting today on praise and worship. We're going to do a whole series today on what the Bible says about praise and worship. And what do we do in our time of celebration? And what do we do in our time of declaring that our God is great? And we come to this place to realize his greatness, his power, his authority, his might. And we celebrate him as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as the creator of the universe, the God of all power and might. We come to a place to honor him and just be reminded, man, my God is greater than. Boom, boom, boom. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And you come to this place to be reminded in worship because the spotlight, watch this, the spotlight is on him and not on us. And we're going to talk through some things today. And I want to walk in a place, and again, maybe you're new to Believer's Chapel, or maybe you're just new to faith, and I'm not sure where you came from in church and church understanding and music and worship understanding, but I'm just going to kind of give you a little bit of my history today. And we're going to get into what nobody's opinion matters except God's. And we're going to come to a place to say, "What God, what do you say about praise? And what do you say about worship? And let's just follow that. Can we just follow that, right? And just come to a place to say, God, my opinion doesn't matter. Even things that I have been taught may not matter if they're not really right here in the scripture. And I just want to read Psalm 150. And it says this, praise the Lord. And every time you see the word praise here, it's halal, which means hallelujah, which is a celebratory praise. Isn't it amazing, honestly, that God gave us a whole book, 150 chapters on what it means to say thank you. Because the word psalms, it means, or the word psalms, it means praises. And the word praises, it means to give thanks. So when you come to a place to say, God, how important is this to you that you've given us, honestly, a whole book called Psalms, which means praises, which means give thanks, 150 chapters on what it means to give thanks. Man, I'm saying it's important. I'm saying, God, it's a big deal on what it looks like to give thanks and what it looks like to worship and what it looks like to give praise. And I love how he closes this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. And lyre is like a big stringed instrument, kind of like the guitar. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. And praise him with loud cymbals. And praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like, church, this is an amazing pattern of just a simple little chapter 150 and a whole book of what it looks like to praise the Lord. And I just want to come to a place to begin to teach Believer's Chapel why we worship and why we praise the way we do in a biblical pattern, and what's it look like in our response to him. And I think, like, this honestly, this series, the whole series, we're gonna communicate this for several weeks. And I'm excited because this is a big deal. Right? We are a worship and word church. And we started just over 10 years ago in Renee and I's living room. And we started in a sense of saying, I know what I want for worship. I know where we're going to get to in worship. My first call was B-Man, man, was Brendan. And I think, hallelujah, we made the best choice we could ever possibly make, right?
Amen.
Come on, amen? No doubt. Brendan is just serious, man. He's unreal. And he's growing so much so now that he is encouraging young worship leaders, and he is encouraging those who are on instruments, and he's encouraging other churches and other ways of worship. It's just incredible to see that man's growth. And 10 years ago, he was our first call. Dude, we know what we want for worship, and we need you. Are you in? And it wasn't just but less than a day that he calls me back with him and Teresa, his bride, say, yeah, man, we're in. And then we developed him and what I want for worship. Not what I want in my opinion, but what I see biblically. And I tell you what, man, we've got the best worship team. I'll take them. If God ever opens the door to travel across the world, man, I'll take them all day long everywhere I go. Come on, they are amazing. And we're blessed by it. Amen? We're blessed by it. But you may think, well, what is so important about praise and worship? Like, because to be honest, man, I grew up in a church where it was you come in and you sing a couple of songs, you get in to the tithes and the offerings and the announcements, and then you get to the very reason why you're there is just the word. That's the church I grew up in. Let's get through all the stuff just so we can get to the word, because that's why we're here. And I don't see that. I see the importance of congregation and the importance of assembly. And the word assembly, it means when the church gets together. The word church literally means assembly of the believers, small or large. There's not a number there. You know, we're called the body of Christ, and we're called the church. And the church doesn't mean walls, but it means people. And the word church, it means the assembly of believers. And in the assembly of believers, they would come and they would sing and they would celebrate God and they'd open up the scrolls and they'd get in to the word of God. And I see this combination where from the very beginning, we want to come in, do the announcements, everything. We want to combine worship of word. We can go right from worship, transition right into the word and have it as the meat of why we're here, man. The ministry time of worship and word. And a part of that, the seriousness, the reality of why is praise and worship such a huge deal? Why is it such a huge deal to God? Well, it should be a really big deal to us. And I want to just share, man, before we pray and really dive in, man, I just want to, man, you may not be accustomed to this. You may be accustomed to something different. Maybe you're not accustomed to raising hands or clapping or shouting or getting juiced and excited. And maybe you're not accustomed to the lights and the drums and the cymbals and the guitars. And maybe you're not accustomed, maybe not. And I'm not here, honestly, to say, okay, listen, you have to raise your hands, get with it. Like, that's not us, man. You want to raise your hands, sweet. If you don't, sweet. I'm only going to share scripture with you. And then we make a heart decision on what does, and watch this, please, man, the seriousness of this. Worship is simple, man. It is my response to God. It's that simple. What is praise and worship? It's my heart's response to my Lord. And however I do that, walking in a sense of Bible. Hello. What does the Bible say? I want you to know what the Bible says. And it may not, please hear me, man. I'm not saying, because honestly, we've had people get a little ruffled. I'm not saying now, today, like in the past. Well, that church just expects everybody to raise their hands. I don't expect anything from you. I expect you to walk in a place to just respond to God. Right? Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his name. Isn't it amazing that it's owed to him because he is great? And this is the deal, church. Well, listen, we've got people driving an hour and 15 minutes to come to church every week. Groups of people, families. We want to win this region. This is my heart, man. This is my desire. We want to win this region an hour plus wide. Of what it looks like for a region to come to a place to understand the reality of worshiping the one true living God. What's it look like to honor him and to glorify him and to worship him and to give him the glory that's due his name? I believe he deserves to be honored, worshiped, and glorified. I believe he deserves to be praised. And I want to see a region of people give God what's due him because he is great and mighty and he is the one true living God. And if we can instruct and encourage people to walk in a way to give God what's owed him in a sense of an hour plus long, then let's win this region to worship God. He deserves to be worshiped. Would you agree with me on that? Come on. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for the moment. Thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful, God. It can speak to us. It can change us from the inside out. Father, we've come to give our tithes and offerings. We've come to give you praise and worship. And now, God, we've come to receive your word, that we walk out of this place inspired. We walk out of this place full. We walk out of this place encouraged. We walk out of this place with hope. God, inspire us today with your word, by your spirit. Move in this place as we teach, in Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Hey, here we go. Here we go. Psalm 96, please. Psalm 96. And just a quick background, man. You know my story. I was raised in an amazing godly home. Mama, Dad, love Jesus, love the Lord. My mom's mom, Nana, in the 20s at 9, she was preaching. At 13, she was raised in Pittsburgh. Of course, she grew up a Steelers fan. God's team. We know that. We're aware of that. I know the Kansas City Chiefs. Everyone's wearing their red. Woo, big deal. We're praying for the Steelers. They're going to build and destroy. That's where I'd like, come on. Build, overcome, and destroy. It's a biblical thing. Here we go. But at 13, she was put on a train from Pittsburgh to Seattle to be able to evangelize and minister. And she had just the power of God on her, just so powerful. And I grew up in this home. Like, this was my background. Dad was the coach at Alfred University for many years. Loved the sense of coach. I wanted to be a coach, cop or a coach. And then I'm now a pastor. Figure it out. I guess I'm still a coach because I love to coach. And my dad was a great coach. If you know my dad, you can figure that out, man. He was an amazing coach. But God led them to buy the bookstore, which had about 5 books in it, to build it into the Good Tidings bookstore, the Christian bookstore downtown many, many years ago, obviously retired. But in that, like, I was raised in a home, and we come and we find church, and we look for church, and we find church. And then I grew up in a church that really doesn't celebrate the Lord like we have come to celebrate the Lord here. And, you know, when you get to clapping and you get to raising your hands, a dude in the brown suit, the usher, comes over and says, we just need to calm it down just a little bit. That's not what we do here. Can you please put your hand down? Do you need to go to the bathroom, young man? Like, what is this? Like, what's happening? So it was never, ever taught. And then, you know, I got saved when I was young, about 12 years old, and really did know the blood covering and knew what it meant to repent from sin and knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, to know that it was my sin that separated me from God, and really came to a place to repent, believe in God. But for me personally, I know that I'm saved, but then about 21 years old after college, 21, 22 years old after college, there was this switch in me that came to a place to say I'm all in. I am now 50 years old, and it's been this amazing life of this transition that says I'm all in, man, I surrender. But in that, man, I got out of college, and I came to my dad, and I said, Dad, listen, I can't do that church. I need some more life, man. I came out of that kind of dead, and it didn't do me well, man. I need some life. And of course, my dad, knowing every pastor and every Christian in our region, my man, I think he went to Paris one day, and someone's like, are you Leonard Obergefell? Like, in Paris. Like, I'm just like, we couldn't get away with anything. Like, I was the good son. My brother Brent and Todd, I'm in the middle, so I was like the good son. They were the troublemakers. They're like, did you know? I'm just kidding. Brent's in the front row, and he's not smiling at me. He's just like, really, Sean, I could tell stories. Listen, shh. What happened, happened. Now listen, here we go. But the reality is I come home and he says, Sean, I need you to check out this new church that's in town. Pastor seems solid. It's a new church. And again, I'm coming from a very traditional background. And I walk in for the first time. And I walk into a service where these people are raising their hands and these people are really celebrating, and there's people on their knees before the Lord, and the instruments are loud, and I'm just like, my dad has flipped his lid. Like, this is Cuckooville, man. What is happening right now? Like, seriously, I'm not, nothing of what I am used to at all, not my background, and I'm just like, my dad doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, nothing. He's not old at this point at all. I'm just like, what is my father thinking? And then I heard the pastor preach, and he just was so dynamic and so deep in scripture. I'm like, okay, 50% is good. Seriously, this is my mindset. All right, the worship's a little chaotic and crazy, but man, the man can pray. I gained so much out of one service, and then I would go back, and then I would go back, and then I would go back, and then Renee moved here from Pittsburgh. She's another God's child from Pittsburgh for the Steelers. It's amazing how that works. And then she moved here, and she started coming to church. And the reality is this, is the pastor would sit down with me, and he says, Sean, what does the Bible say? Sean, I know the background you're from, but can we just look at the Bible? Let's just look at the book that's right in the center of the Bible called Psalms. It is a whole book on giving thanks. What does the Bible say? This pastor began to walk me through what Scripture said about praise and worship. Again, church, I grew up where it was, okay, come into church, let's sing our songs, let's stand, let's sit down, take the offering, do our announcements, and then let's get to the real reason why we're here. Just preach. And it's amazing that when you're taught over and over, it's what becomes a reality to you until someone opens the Bible and says, hey, what does the Bible say? And he began to really break down why they celebrate. But one thing I can tell you, that first service I'm in, I'm like, these people, they really do love their God. Like they I've never seen people celebrate God like this in music. You can't walk out going, they don't celebrate God. They're not excited about the Creator. They're not excited about their Savior. Like they did, but it was foreign to me. Until, what does the Bible say? And he began to break down all the words, and he began to look at certain passages and scriptures. And honestly, I came to a place where I just absolutely saw the reality and the relationship building of what praise and worship really is. It is about relationship. It's about me coming to a place to honor God and to give God the time of worship and praise and to be amazed at him and to respond to him. And truly, knowing how great my God is and knowing that he is great and greatly to be praised and know that he is the Savior of the world, that he put himself on a cross where it becomes so personal to me. He died for me. What is my response to that? Praise and worship is a part of our response to how we see God. That we would come to a place to watch this, how you respond to a relationship, church. Like, how do you respond to your husband and wife? How do you respond to your kids? When you're building relationship, and I love this because God through Christ is only about relationship. That's what he's about. How is it that you build a proper relationship with somebody? You give them a proper response. So when you give God a proper response based off of relationship, you're building a proper relationship. And when you come to a place to see, man, this is so real. It became so real to me over years of really what is that picture of worship? Why do we use instruments? Why do we create atmosphere? I had a young lady who's probably in her 60s. She came to me this week and said, listen, I've been here for several months, and I just wasn't used to that whole what you guys do for worship. But now I love it and I see it and I love coming to church to worship. There's this sense, and I'm like, I know where you're at. I've walked in that. And honestly, I gotta be truthful, man. This is the deal. There was something in me. When I really come to a place to see what we're gonna cover in the next several weeks, because it's so important. Honestly, it wasn't anger. It really was a sense of disappointment because I know what the truth of Scripture in praise and worship has done for my relationship with God. I know the joy it brings. I know my response to him. I know that this has done something amazing and beautiful in my relationship with him. I know that I can respond to him the same way, whether I'm on the top of a mountain or in the midst of a valley, man. No matter what my circumstance looks like, I can still praise him and thank him because he is one who is unchanging. And man, when it changed my relationship with him, that it makes it very personal in my response to him and who he is. I got to tell you, I was in the sense in my spirit just disappointed. Why didn't anyone ever tell me this? I grew up for 21 years in my life And no one ever told me. I never want that to be the case here. I never want that to be the case here. So we're going to get into a series, and it's called Honor the King. And particularly this message is what's the point? What's the point to worship? Have you ever had conversation with people, and you're just trying to communicate, and they're just missing the point? You do so good at trying to be clear, and they're just like, hi, and then you're missing the point. It's like going on vacation but taking work with you, right? You miss the point. Why are you going on vacation taking work with you? You're missing the point of vacation. Now, I don't want to get into a place to miss the point of worship. Hey, listen, it's like being married and not having sex. You miss the point. I know it's about friendship and laughter and community and whoa. Wives are shaking their head. I'm just kidding. You missed the point. Anyways, hey, young people, wait till marriage. God bless you. Peace. Have a good night. Everybody, have a good day. But what happens, church, hear this, please, man. This is real. What happens when you miss the point in worship? And let's look at this, man. Psalm 96, it gives us some points this morning to build that proper response that builds a proper relationship. And it says this, Psalm 96. Look at this with me. Put it up on your digits. Put it on your paper. Come on, check it out. Look at this. Sing to the Lord a new song, and sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. I love this. I love it. Watch this. This isn't a Sunday thing. Now listen, please hear me. There is something special that takes place in the community. There's something special that takes place when we gather as the church, as the assembly of believers, when we got all of these voices and just there's an excitement that builds in the room towards our Heavenly Father. Man, there's something special that takes place in community worship. Absolutely. There's something dynamic that takes place at our Seek service, first Sunday of the month. Last week's Seek was amazing. It was incredible, powerful. There's something special when the church gets together on purpose to worship and praise him on a Sunday. But worship and praise is not just a Sunday thing, man. It is on Monday. It is on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Back together as the church on Sunday. Man, our thanksgiving to him and our honoring him in praise and worship, man, it is a day-to-day deal. And man, I want to encourage you in that, man. It's not just Sunday. It's my response to him on Monday. It's my response to him on Tuesday. Man, how do I come to this place to give thanksgiving? How do I come to this place to honor him and walk in his reverence of him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and kick it again on Sunday with the community? So I love this Psalm 96. Come on, watch this. Tell of his glory among the nations, verse 3. His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. This word praise is halal, which is hallelujah, which is that sense of celebration. That loud boasting, bragging to make one shine in a sense of celebration. Man, we want people to walk in this place, say, well, what they do is they celebrate their God. I don't know if I like the bald guy, but what they do, man, they do celebrate their God. His stupid marriage jokes. Put up with me. Just love me. You have to love me. The Bible says so. Just love me. Amen. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, for he is to be feared above all gods. And here's he is to be honored and he is to be revered and he is to be respected. Let all the gods of the people are idols. For all the gods of the people are idols. They're just dead. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, and ascribe means give. Give to the Lord, O families of peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him. There's that sense of that understanding how great our God is and how powerful our God is. We come before him with just this trembling sense, not being scared of him, but this is a sense of reverence. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And this is speaking of his kingship. That he has a throne, that he has dominion, he rules, he has authority, the Lord is king, he reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established, it will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. The sea roar and all it contains. The field exult and all that's in it. And all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And I love, watch this, I love, listen, if you want to say, okay, give me some goods, man. What can I go into the Psalms and read? Read through the 90s. Psalm 90 to 99, unbelievable in regards to references like this. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to get into Psalm 95 and breaking down what's it mean to be in his presence. What's the reality of what it is to really be in his presence? What's it mean to celebrate God and be in his presence? And listen, please hear this. Church, there's a balance to this. Because like I said, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I came from a place of a much more traditional background that, hey, sir, can you, whoop, we don't really get loud here. We just need to get to the word. It's just formality just to sing. Let's just get to the preaching. And then found myself in a very balanced church that understood and taught me praise and worship that really changed, honestly, for me personally, it changed everything about me and my response and my love for him and building relationship. But then I've also, watch this now, I've also been a part of church that swings to a very dangerous side of anything we do in worship is acceptable because we call it the Holy Spirit. And that's very dangerous. I've been in services where it's just completely chaos and has no order to it whatsoever, and it's just crazy. And people walk into a service like that and they don't see people celebrating God. They see people acting like animals and it's chaos. God is a God of order. So please hear me. I've been on all spectrums to this thing. I've been in the crazy side and I've been in the balanced in the middle. And I want Believer's Chapel to be really balanced, biblically balanced, strong. Why do you do this? Well, let me show you. Where is that in scripture? Come on, let me show you. Where do you find that? Come on, let me point it out to you. I love that. I want balance. And we come to this place to say, what's the point? Let me just start this. The reality is the point of praise and worship is to put God in the spotlight. Watch this, Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, watch this, bless his name. Point number one of this, if you're a point taker, point number one of this is we come to a place to sing because we want to bless him. And the word bless here, it means to show adoration. We want to adore him. We want to bless him. It literally means even to take a knee, to kneel before him. You may see people kneeling in worship, and that is a blessing. That is us putting God in the spotlight. God, I want to adore you. I want to honor you. I want to bless you. I want to put myself on my knees in this place of surrender before you to show you adoration. You can imagine this picture before a king. When a knight kneels before a king, it shows highest respect. It shows honor. It shows this adoration to the king. Church, we serve a king, the king of kings, the king of all eternity that put himself on a cross, died on a cross to take our place so we don't have to. What kind of adoration do we show our king who is now living and active, sitting truly at the right hand of the Father? And so point number one is really the big point is what's the point is to put him in the spotlight through our music and through our song and through our voices and through our position that we want to bless him. We want to bless him, right? Watch this. Just keep your finger in Psalm 95. Flip over to Psalm 63, please. I'm going to touch on this psalm more in the future, but I want you to see this because Psalm 63 I want us to understand this, that we don't just come to a place to put God in the spotlight when everything's going good. We truly want to praise him through our problems and worship him through our worries, that we want to come to a place when our back's against the wall, man, when things are just not going okay, when we're in a tough season, we still have that victorious shout of how great our God is. We still have that victorious Shabbat. The word Shabbat is to shout to the Lord, a shout of victory, no matter what our circumstance looks like, because your circumstance is always going to change. But our God is unchanging, same yesterday, today, and forever. So why does our worship and praise change when we know it's about him, putting him in the spotlight? Why would it change according to our circumstance? Everything's going great, so I can worship. But man, when my back is against a wall, when I'm just struggling, Man, my hands seem to come down. My voice seems to get less. Like we think God has changed. I worship the God who can change my circumstance. I praise the one in victory, whether I'm on the highest of the mountains or whether I'm in the lowest of the valley, he still deserves and receives the highest praise because his greatness doesn't, my circumstance doesn't dictate his greatness. I want us to see this because we're going to see it in Psalm 63. This is David. He's in the wilderness of Judea. He's in a bad place. He's in a rough season. He's hiding in a cave, and he says this in verse 63. I'm going to kick it off in verse 3 because we're going to cover 63 in a couple weeks. It says this, because your loving kindness is better than life. Again, hiding in a cave, man. The brother's struggling. The brother's back is against the wall, literally. And he comes to this place to say, because your loving kindness is better than life. It talks about perspective. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And this word praise is that shabak, shout of victory. His back is against the wall, and his brother is shouting victory because he knows his God is great. He knows his loving kindness is better than life, and he still praises him with a loud shout. Man, the brother got excited about God in a cave. My lips will praise you. Watch this, verse 4. So I will bless you as long as I live. No matter what my circumstance looks like, I will still walk in adoration of you. No matter how much my back is against the wall, I will still look to you and I will kneel before you. I will adore you. I will honor you. I will exalt you. I will walk in this place that it is my purpose in praise and worship to thank you, to be amazed, and to bless you. Our praise shouldn't be circumstantial, church. Because of our situation, praise and the purpose of praise, the point of praise, it doesn't change. He still is deserving of our highest praise, no matter where we're at in life. Now watch this. So I will bless you. I will adore you. And the word is Barak. I will kneel to you. I will show adoration and respect to you as long as I live. I will bless you as long as I live. And I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul, watch this, my soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. And this is that halal, hallelujah praises. It is that sense of celebration. The brother's in a cave. Army is coming after. My thought is, could we do that? Could we come to that place, and no matter what circumstance we find ourselves, to be able to say, God, my arms are still going to go up and I will still walk in adoration to you. Matter of fact, I will find myself on my knees before you. And I will praise you. Matter of fact, I'm going to shout in the enemy's face a victory shabak praise. I'm going to shout a shabak thank you in the midst of my circumstance, because I know how great you are. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Come on back to Psalm 96. I want you to see it. So number one is the point of praise is to bless him. Now watch this. And to walk in this place of honor, and to walk in this place of respect, and walk in this place of truly this reverence to him. And I love verse 7, Psalm 96. Ascribe to the Lord, or give to the Lord. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. That's his presence. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him. Church, what's it mean to give? Because again, I've been on all spectrums of church, all spectrums of theology, all spectrums of from this side to that side, to being way too conservative, to way too loose and crazy, to be in a place of healthy balance. And unfortunately, I've seen this idea in worship is, I'm going to come in and be a taker. Man, I didn't get anything out of worship today. Well, you weren't supposed to get anything out of worship. You're supposed to give in worship. Don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. We don't come into worship to take from God. It doesn't make any sense if it literally means to adore and walk in his place, to position ourselves in adoration. If it literally means I want to bless you, I want to give you the glory that's due his name. Psalm 29, I want to walk in a place, ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his name. Worship him in the Holy of Holies. What's the word do mean? It means owed. Church, wouldn't it be a bummer if you worked 40 hours and your boss says, I don't feel like paying you. Yeah, but you owe it to me. Yeah, but I'm making a choice. I don't want to pay you. That wouldn't go over well. Give to the Lord the glory, the splendor, the majesty, the excellence, the brightness that is due his name. Worship him in the Holy of Holies. And I tell you what, when I learned this, church, my perspective changed. Not in the sense of, well, I have to do it because I owe him. Isn't it amazing that when you understand what it means to be a boss, you understand what it means to sign the checks, you understand what it means to give finances, you want to be able to bless. Oh, I have to pay the staff. What a bummer. That's not this. We don't come to a place to walk in this sense of praise and worship to give because we have to. We get to. I want to. I know how great my God is. Man, I know what he did for me in my salvation. I know what I rightfully deserve. But he loves me. He died for me. He gave me eternal life. I don't forcefully have to come because it's owed him. I want to. Because all he's done for me, that's my response, because I know who my God is. I know who my Savior is. I know what Jesus did for me. And it is my heart to want to respond to him properly through celebrating, through honoring, through adoring, and walking in this place to see what does the Bible say even about our instruments and even about our atmosphere of celebration. What does that look like? Why? I want to do that. He deserves that because I owe it to him because of all he is and what he's done as the great creator and savior of my soul. It's not a have to, man. It's a I can't wait to. I can't wait to get up in the morning and praise my God. I can't wait to go to bed and thank him for what he's done. I don't have to, but it's owed him because of who he is. And we don't come in this place to be takers when it's time for worship. Listen, there's amazing things. We're going to talk about there's amazing things that takes place in his presence. When I draw near to him, he draws near to me. And there is peace and there is rest. And man, he certainly can speak into our hearts. And there's amazing things that definitely can take place in the sense of his presence. And it's beautiful. But we don't walk out of our time of worship saying, I didn't get nothing from worship today. Well, you missed the point. The spotlight isn't on you. The spotlight is on him. Because we're called to give. I mean, it's like me. I'm 50, right? I have a 51-year-old birthday party, August 15th, right? You all are invited, right? And I invite you to my birthday party. And it's like you come empty-handed. And then you're mad you didn't get a party gift when you left. Wait a minute. You're actually mad at me because I didn't give you. I invited you to come to my birthday party. Generally, you're supposed to come and give a gift, but you didn't come anything, and you got mad because you're a taker, and you didn't get a departing party gift. I don't know how much different it is for you and I when we come to a place in a sense of his atmosphere to honestly bless him and give to him and seek him and worship him and give thanks to him with a celebratory adoration. And we walk out going, I didn't get nothing today from worship. You missed the point. I want to start the series and what it is to honor the King, that we make sure that we don't miss the point. That we make sure, man, you're not going to ever hear, come to this church and have an experience in worship. You just made it about you. I want a proper praise. And I want a proper response to God. And I want to walk in this place to really say, God, we want to honor you and we want to glorify you. And we all that you've done for us, I don't want to make it about me. You have put yourself on a cross for me. You've given me new life. You've given me everything I need here, now, in abundance. God, I don't want to make it about me. I want to worship you and praise you and thank you and ascribe to you what's due you. I want to walk in this place to bless you. I want to walk in this place to pursue you and seek after you so that I can walk in a reality of my heart to say I want to honor you and I want to exalt you and I want to praise you. And God, I want you to be in the spotlight. Church, that's praise and worship. That's the point. Is to be so amazed at our God that we worship him and then we praise him. Come on, Psalm 105, real quick, please. Psalm 105. And I love this because this is a sense of what it means to give thanks. Again, we're going to cover a lot in the next 3-4 weeks, man, in this community and what we're talking through, praise and worship, because it's such a big deal. It's a game changer for relationship. A biblical proper response to who he is in my life. And to put it on him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm amazed by you. God, you are great. You are the creator of the heaven and earth. I want to honor you and I want to glorify you and I want to praise you. I want to thank you for my salvation. I want to thank you for your loving kindness because it's better than life. And my lips will praise you. I will bless your name and I will lift my hand. God, I want to walk in a place to, I don't want to make it about me. Psalm 105, man, this is where we get seek from. This is our verses for our seek service. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks. And the word give thanks here is a word of praise, and it means yada. And it means to celebrate with extended hands. Listen, please hear me, man. I'm not here to say, well, you're supposed to raise your hands. If you do, woo. If you don't, woo. Like, I'm just telling you that it's okay. I'm just telling you, we're not crazy when we worship him with raised hands. It's absolutely okay. How many times do you read just through the Psalms, give thanks? Almost, watch this now, almost every time you see give thanks, it's yada. And it means to celebrate with extended hands. That's a position. That's body language. We're going to talk on body language in the next couple weeks. And again, this is not like you have to or you don't. This is you and God, man. You and him. I'm just saying it's okay. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. This is the word zamar. It means with musical instruments. Church, I love our musical instruments. I love the talent that Brendan has surrounded himself with on this stage. I love the voices. B-Man isn't even here today, man. But yet we have an absolute zero lack when it comes to the giftedness and the talent. We have a backup team to the backup team. And they're brilliant, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is zamar. This is musical instruments, man. This is using instruments to glorify and honor him, to say thank you through musical instruments in a sense of celebration. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Boast in his holy name. Look at where the spotlight. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Let the heart of those, this is the inner person, man, not the surface level. Let the depth of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. My daughter makes me these little bookmarks, which I love. Man, as you can see, I got a lot of them made by my daughter. And this one just simply says, I love this. And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in his salvation. I want our time of praise and worship to be something of depth, not a surface level thing, but the reality of our soul and in our heart that we come to this place to celebrate the Lord. Come on, let's just walk in a place to understand this morning what it is to not miss the point. What's the point? To put him in the spotlight. To come to a place to be amazed at him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 33:8. When you come to a place, if you want to read an amazing psalm on praise and worship, it's Psalm 33. I'm going to get into that in a couple weeks. For it's becoming for the church to praise him. The word becoming in Psalm 33, it means it's fitting. It just fits. It's like putting a glove on your hand. It just makes sense. put a glove on your foot. It doesn't make sense. What are you doing? I'm just trying to make it fit. No, the word becoming, it means it fits for the believer. It just makes sense. Come on, where are you in this? Come on, if you just bow your heads and close this thing out. I'm so glad you're here today. I want a region to worship the Lord properly. I want a region to catch what I caught in Scripture. Like I said, I'm 50, man. This was when I was 21, 22 years old. Got really taught praise and worship in a sense that it changed the dynamic of my worship, my relationship. It became personal. Where are you in this today? You new to Believer's Chapel? Man, I'm pumped that you're here. I'm glad you're here. I hope you leave inspired and built up and encouraged. I know we stand on the truth of God's word. We want to give God a proper response and put him in the spotlight and not make it about us. The third chapter in the Bible, Adam and Eve made it about them and they blew it. I don't want to make a time that is designated for him to make it about me or to make it about us. But the foundation of praise and worship is to put him in the spotlight. It's all about him. It's about thanking him. It's a time that we give. It's not a time that we take. We can become takers real quick. Until we just simply, what would it be if every single person in this church, two services, came to place intentionally? They came to church on purpose to give. God, we're going to give you worship today the way that you deserve to be celebrated. We're going to adore you as a church and walk in a place to say thank you. As the assembly of believers, we're going to say thank you. We're not here to take. We're here to give in our time of praise and worship. We don't need to get through the music to get to the good stuff. God, this is so vital and it's so important to walk in this place with a mindset that said, no, I can't wait to give you praise and worship. It's so rightfully desired. I can't wait to be in the assembly. I can't wait for the musicians and the drums and the cymbals and the guitars. Listen, church, I grew up in a church that said, guitars are the devil. It's a sexual thing for guitars. I didn't know what that meant. Oh, drums are evil. Cymbals are loud. I'm like, what are you talking about? Let's read the script. They had stringed instruments of 10 strings. I see 4 to 8. I don't even know. I don't play guitar. Man, they were juiced up. David was juiced in his guitar playing, man. He ripped. He shredded on the hill being a shepherd, man. And you come to this place to say, God, what do you say about it? He's given us a whole book, 150 chapters on what he says about it. And this, I believe this, it'll change you. It will change you. If you would just simply come and place, God, what do you say about it? Not what I've been taught, not what I grew up with. God, what do you say about it? And when I learned to do that, it changed everything. Father, we're amazed by you. We love you. God, we want to. God, it is our desire as a church to give you a praise and a worship that is right. You're amazing, and we put you in the spotlight to simply say thank you. We love you. We worship you. We adore you. We celebrate you. God, that our hearts will be towards you. Our heart's response will be towards you and saying, God, no matter what circumstance I'm in, my celebration of you doesn't change because you don't change. I am saved. I am delivered. I am redeemed. I have a place in heaven, eternity for me. The circumstance and the struggle here on the earth, it doesn't change or dictate how I celebrate you, that you are a great God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You praise should be great, and it should be always towards you. You, God, in this place are the spotlight, and we love you and we honor you, and we want our thanksgiving of you to explode in this house over the next several weeks, God, that would continue, that our praise to you would be dynamic and it would explode and it would put you in the forefront and first of our thanksgiving. Come on, in Jesus' name, amen.